be today. Like I said, I debated. Man, I was really close to switching the message. I've only probably done that a couple of times. I'm not on. How you got it now? I'm on. All right. But, you know, I just prayed about it. And, you know, God said, preach this one. But I would encourage you to hear the one tonight, come tonight. You know, when we read the Bible, the title of the message is The Look of Faith. And we'll talk about the text, and I'll read the text to you in a minute. When we start thinking about the Bible, anybody that starts to read the Bible and reads through it very far is going to see some certain truths that are going to pop up. There's some things that are just going to stick out that, you know, you would know if, you know, if you can, you know, if you're intelligent. You don't have to be super intelligent, but you would know this. You know, and one of the truths, and high on the list, would be the doctrine of faith. You know, that's all throughout the Bible. Faith is there, and the more you know about faith, the more you see it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we'd have to say that faith would be a pretty important truth, right? I mean, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then faith would be something that we should be, you know, concerned about that. I mean, when we think about you know, without faith, in other words, there cannot be an approach to God. There can be no forgiveness. Without faith, there's no deliverance. Without faith, there's no communion with God. There's no spiritual life. In other words, you know, there's no salvation. Without faith, there's no salvation. So naturally, a person should be concerned as to whether they have faith or not. If we want to, like, really personalize it, you should be concerned about whether that you have faith, the right, you know, the right kind of faith. I mean, everybody has faith. I was watching a little clip just the other day, came on, didn't have nothing to do with why I'm preaching this, but it was Billy Graham, and he was talking about, and I've used the same illustration, you know, that, you know, we exercise faith every single day. You know, you sit down in your chair, you sit down in a chair you've never sat in before. Most of us don't check it out. We just believe it'll hold us, and we sit down. You know, we have faith when we drive the car that we're going to get where we go. If you get on a plane, you wouldn't fly on a plane if you didn't have any faith that the plane would get you there. You might be nervous about it, but if you really believed it wouldn't get you to where you're going or it was going to crash, it would, you wouldn't get on it. And, so, you know, we exercise faith, but I'm talking about faith in Christ, faith in God. You know, we have to really question ourselves as to whether we have faith in Jesus Christ. And so, well, then the next question naturally arises, you know, what is faith? You know, we could conclude pretty quickly that faith might be taking God at His word, believing a promise, reckoning the Bible to be true, believing the Bible's true. That would be faith. But outside of Hebrews 11:1, there is no other biblical definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But even here in Hebrews, faith is defined functionally, not philosophically. It's a statement of what faith is in operation, not what it is in essence. It shows the results of faith rather than what it is. So we think about this faith, and even if we can't define it, we could have it. And where does it come from? Well, the Bible tells us that faith is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you're not going to be able to put faith in Jesus Christ without hearing the Word of God. Somebody, you know, the preaching of the Word of God, or even, well, obviously you could read the Word of God, and then I guess the Holy Spirit would do the preaching to your conscience if you're reading the Word of God. So it really comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where we get faith. And so I got two main points. I got some sub-points in them that I want to share with you today. And one of them, the very first thing is we see the vision of faith. And we're in Numbers chapter 21. And we go down to we'll start at verse 4. And this talking about the Israelites. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So there was this, we see what happened. The people started to complain, which was what? God had led them out of Egypt. God had, you know, had led them out, and he led them into the wilderness. He delivered them from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. There was some faith action. They had faith to believe God to leave Egypt. They had faith to believe they could walk through the Red Sea when it was parted and the walls of water was up on each side. They had, and God defeated the army. They got a little lack of faith there for a moment, but God took care of it. So now they're out in the wilderness, and now all of a sudden they start, when they quit having faith, and they started complaining to Moses about, they complained about Moses and they complained about God. They started complaining. You know, that's and that was because they didn't have faith. They thought, man, we're going to thirst to death, and we're sick and tired of eating this bread, which was, man, I mean, it was manna from heaven. I mean, they just started complaining about everything. Remember what I said just a few minutes ago before I started preaching? You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the spirit. And they had to, they started walking in the flesh. That's walking in without having faith in God. And they weren't trusting God. They weren't believing God, even though God had not failed them all along the way. And so, you know, God was angry about that. And he put these fiery serpents, these snakes. And if you got bit by these snakes, you could die. Well, you know, we all know that there's poisonous snakes in the world. So I did a little quick study on the smartphone, you know, to look. And I said, well, I already knew the black mamba was a deadly snake. There's another snake that's more poisonous than the black mamba. But it doesn't kill you as fast. It like drags it out a little bit longer. But it said untreated, a black mamba was in 15 minutes. If you don't get untreated, you die in 15 minutes. There's a couple other snakes in the world that can kill you in 15 minutes. There's one snake. I think it's the eastern brown snake, and I think they have them in Australia. I think I've got this right. But anyway, it said it'll kill you in 15 minutes. But the odd thing about it is for 13 minutes, you feel like you're all right. 13 minutes, everything's okay. It's them last 2 minutes that get you every time. And I thought, boy, what a picture. What a picture of sin. See, because we can go on living our life through this world and not sinning a bit or sinning all we want to and not trusting God, and we feel like everything's fine. But boy, that last couple of minutes, boy, when you die and you die without Christ and you wake up and boy, I mean, absent from the body, present with the Lord if you're saved, and absent from the body, you're going to be in hell if you're not. I mean, boy, them last, so there it is. So a lot of the people, see, everybody in the world has been bitten by sin. But a lot of people are living their life like everything's okay. Why? Because they feel like everything's okay. Everything looks fine. Everything looks good. It does. But guess what? You are going to die, and there is going to be a judgment day. Those two things are fact. It's chiseled in stone, so to speak. Those two things are going to kill you. Now, so the Lord says, okay, listen, I'm going to do something. They cried out. Moses cried out. They prayed to God, and God said, all right, Moses, I want you to make a serpent, and I want you to put it on a pole and stick it in the middle of the camp. Now, they didn't know this. We know it now because we're Bible scholars and we study the Word of God. But brass always speaks of judgment in the Bible. The altar was made out of brass. They made the altar out of brass later on when they made the temple. Brass always speaks of judgment. And the pole represents the cross. We look back at that. So we know that this is a picture, a type, a typification of Christ, Jesus Christ. And he stuck that pole in the middle of the camp. But I want you to focus on this one phrase. And it said in verse 8, and here was the deal. If you got bit by a snake, it said in verse 8, it says, "Who when he looketh, every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. When he look upon it, he shall live. This is the look of faith. This is the look of faith. That's all you had to do. All you had to do. I'm probably going to say this somewhere else, but I'll say it now. I believe that from anywhere in the camp, you could see that pole. You could see it. Everybody could see it. And I believe another thing. I believe everybody in the camp got bit. I'll show you why in a minute when I get to that point. But it said, he that looketh shall live. Now, John 3:14-15 says, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So there in John it said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In our text in Numbers it said, whosoever, if they look, the look of faith, if they believed what Moses told them that God said, they would live. So we can see that the phrase look and believe are synonymous terms. The Old Testament, looking in the Old Testament, is identical in that case with believing in the New Testament. And so Israel looked with external eyes, and believing is done with the heart. Now A.W. Tozer said this about faith. He said, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. That's how he defines faith. He said, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. When you're looking with the heart, you know, you're looking upon what God said. Now, so we see what faith is. Well, we look at the world today. What has happened in the world today? And when sin entered into the world, and right off the bat, Satan, the serpent, ironically, cast doubt about hath God said with Eve. And then man, started turning away from looking at God. We were talking in Sunday school about this, and the definition of darkness is the absence of light. Absence of light. There's no instrument to measure darkness, and there's only a light meter. It measures how much light or lack thereof you have. And if you don't have any light, there's darkness. That's what it is. So darkness is the absence of light. Well, what happened was the world turned away from God, and we're living in a world that mostly has done that. And when that happened, sin did a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we know right off the bat. But one of the things that sin did was it twisted our vision inward and made us self-regarding instead of God-regarding. Like we started looking at our own self instead of looking at God. And you know, we can understand that if we know our own self well enough and we're honest enough with ourselves to know, you know, not to lie and say it's true, and we know our selfishness habits that we may have had, and hopefully if you're saved that has gotten a lot better, but because Christ is living in you. But what we did was the unbelief and this lack of faith put self where God's supposed to be. Now listen, church, Christians struggle with this thing right here. Like I said a minute ago, I'm going to get this. This is part of tonight's message. I'm just going to intertwine it just a little bit. Huh? You walking in the flesh, or you walking in the spirit? You walking in the flesh, or you walking in the spirit? Not at the same time. Sometimes you're walking in the spirit, sometimes you're walking in the flesh, but you're supposed to walk in the spirit, not the flesh. This is our problem. So what we have become, mankind, has become self-centered, self-focused instead of God-focused. You can go all the way back to Cain, man. Remember, if you ever studied that in Cain, what was his big, oh, man, he got thrown out of the Garden of Eden because he didn't listen to God. But now he's all worried. What's he worried about? Well, they're going to kill me. Where am I going to live? They are going to kill me, and I'm not going to be able to, no. You know, he whining. What was he focused on? He wasn't focused on God and why he got thrown out of the Garden of Eden. He was focused on what was going to happen to him. He was really focused on that. And so man became self-centered, self-willed, self-ish, the self-life. This is it. I mean, we look around at things. And I'm gonna give you some stuff. I'm going to get on your toes. I'm sorry about that. I'm not really sorry about it, but I just think it's what you have to see. Just listen, self is not going to admit to self that self is selfish. Self is not going to admit that self is self-centered. Self's not going to do it. It's only the Word of God. Now you look around, and I think about this and things that we do. Like here we think about Wednesday night prayer meeting. Every church Wednesday night, if they even have a prayer meeting, is the least attended probably service of all. Right now we're having a race. Right now I'd say Wednesday night's probably beating Sunday school to death. Now, why is it? Why is it now? We look at the world we live in today, crying out loud. We got a former president just about got assassinated. We got political upheaval that's unbelievable and a division in the country like nobody's business. It's spiritual. It's not political, by the way. We got a border that's wide open with people coming in, coming across the border and groves and groves and groves. And for some reason, half of Washington, D.C. doesn't have enough common sense to think, man, this probably ain't good. You know, we got drag queens at the Olympics portraying the Last Supper, mocking God and wide open rebellion against God. NBC, whatever what it was, putting that stuff on. We've got gay marriages. We got the church, not this church, but churches are divided over whether this is a right thing or a wrong thing. Is homosexuality? They can't even decide what the Bible says about it. We've got all that going on. We've got a major election coming up our nation. I mean, we got a worldwide crisis, and when a church calls for a prayer meeting, you get a handful of people that show up to that.
Amen.
Now, what in the world? And we sit around, yeah, preacher, the world just getting bad. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about a prayer meeting? I got to preach. They wanted me to say something at the Love Life thing yesterday. I had to do a little devotion, and I was trying to get something different because they do 40 weeks of this, and they probably get 40 weeks of the same text just about. But I use this text right here. When the Amalekites were attacking Israel, Moses had to stand there, and he stood with the rod of God in his hand. I told him this, he was at the Love Life thing. You know it, so the 10 of you that were there, you already got this. They had the rod of God in his hand. He held it up, and when he held it up, which it represented dependence upon God, Israelites won. And when he let his hands down, they started losing. And so what happened, they had to get Aaron and Hur to help him hold it up. He set him down on a rock. I like that, a rock, a picture of Christ. But anyway, they held up the rod, and when they held it up, they prevailed. Moses couldn't have done it by himself.
Amen.
See, because a lot of people think, well, you know what? I can just sit on my duffer and the lazy boy at the house and pray. But there's something more powerful about corporate prayer. Huh? Somebody might need you, huh? But see, you're self-centered. You ain't worried about whether somebody else needs you. You are worried about, I can stay home and relax in my jammies, and I'm tired, and I don't have to get out and go down to the prayer meeting. Listen, churches today ought to be slam-packed on prayer meeting whenever they have one, because look at the world that we're living in. Now, tell me you can't do it. Huh? Sunday night's the same way. Sunday night isn't too bad, but I mean Sunday night. There's some of you in here right now, not planning. Maybe your mind will be changed about coming on Sunday night. There's only probably less than 1% of the people that physically could not come tonight. Can't see, lame, whatever. The rest of you could come. You could. If you weren't self-centered. If you were God-focused, you could come. Really, it's a few, it's just a little bit. I know there's people that can't do it, but you could. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could do it, but why don't we? I want you to think about this. Why don't I? Man, I got my little token visit in there from 11 to 12, and man, this is it. We're focused on ourselves. It's for all at the prayer meeting, church this size, 10 people go, we're going to pray for abortions, man, abortions. I forgot what I said. It's way up in the millions a year, babies aborted worldwide. But we can't go down there for an hour, hour and a half and have a prayer right across the street from the abortion clinic and pray. And I pray specifically, I pray, God, shut that thing down. Shut it down. God's people getting together, there's power. See, Moses, you think, well, could Moses have stayed home in that situation with the Amalekites and just prayed at the house? Uh-uh. He had to be right there. Did somebody have to be there with him? Yeah, because he couldn't hold his hands up any longer. He couldn't hold his hands up long enough to win the fight. He had to have somebody there with him. That picture's prayer, dependence on God. It's an important thing. We got to get over the hump, and I'm trying to drag you. Listen to me. I know I get hard on you sometimes. Oh, my gosh. But listen, I'm trying to get you to a better place. I'm trying to get the church to a better place. I'm trying to get Christians to do what God has empowered us to do, and what God's will is for your life is that you quit being lazy. Quit being indifferent. Be filled with Christ. Walk in the Spirit. It's His life, not your life. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to try to get you to that point. And if you listen to what I'm telling you, and if you do what I'm telling you, you'll get to that point. We're self-focused. Now, we're to be Christ-centered. And it's the only way to get the victory. Listen, John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the world." In other words, he said, look. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Real faith doesn't regard itself. It doesn't look at itself. Not this kind of faith. Faith is occupied with the object upon which it rests and pays no attention to anything else. No distractions, no obstacles, no excuses. And it's not a once and done act. It's a continual act, an intention of the heart. It's focus on Christ. Now I want to give you this simplicity. The second point is the simplicity of faith. Back in our text, you got bit by a poisonous snake that could kill you maybe in less than 15 minutes. How hard would it have been to look at that brass serpent? Do you think that some of them wouldn't do it? I mean, if we look at the world today, how hard is it to look to Jesus? People won't do it. How hard is it for you, Christian, to walk in faith? It's not you. It's Him, right? It's not hard. It's not hard if you just put faith in Christ. I said, I believe it could be seen from anywhere. And I believe this. I believe because look what verse 6 said. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. It doesn't say they bit some of the people, or a few of the people, or even many of the people. It said they bit the people. I believe everybody got bit, because in type, everybody's been bitten by sin. Everybody, so to apply it, it'd have to work that way. The simplicity of faith is such that, you know what happens when we exercise faith in God? It becomes habit forming. I mean, you know, after a while, I don't know, maybe they got bit more than once. I don't know, maybe not. And if you wanted to use the type correctly, probably not, but you know, if you got bit by a serpent and you looked at the pole, everything was fine. So what would happen eventually if you got a bit again, you'd be in the middle of it, bit, look at the pole. Bit, look at the pole. It just became, so what happens in our walk of faith? It's not really an effort on our part. It just happens. You know, it just starts to be it's a habit-forming thing with the soul, and it becomes a spiritual reflex, and it takes no conscious effort on our part to do it. It's a simple thing. Faith is simple, really. It's simple. The look of faith is simple in the fact that by it, faith, the things that we have been trying to achieve, now here, this is important, the things that we have been trying to achieve in our soul will be done by Him. Now let me show you. I got in Galatians 2:20. This is one of my favorite verses. I assign it. If you got anything I made out of wood, then you see it signed on the back. And Paul wrote this: "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now I want you to notice something correctly. And if you some of the modern versions, and a lot of the NIV is one of the worst. And I saw somebody quote this the other day. NIV is going to say this down near the bottom. "I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's incorrect. It's, in the Greek, it's of. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I even saw one commentator that went so far to say, he knew it was correct in the Greek, but he said, well, if you take that sentence out of context, it would read of the faith of the Son of God. Well, let's take it in context. Here it is. I'm crucified with Christ. What happens to you when you're crucified? You're dead. And the life, it says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I but Christ. Isn't that, that's a good Christian mantra right there, right? Not I but Christ. Not I but Christ. Not I but Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. Why? Because a dead man can't have no faith. How much faith can a dead man have? Nothing. It's his faith. We're living by the faith of Christ. That's his faith. And that's the correct translation. And it's exactly right. It's the Christ life. That's what the Christ life is all about. So it doesn't take any effort on us. It's God working in us. It's him working that faith in us. It's Christ with all things. It's not a meritorious act like we deserved it, right? It's a gift of God. We already talked about that. It's a redirecting of our vision, getting our focus off ourselves onto God. Faith looks out instead of in. When we look at the Lord, let me share this with you. We meet friendly eyes looking back. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That's pretty simple. He's looking for those of us that are looking for him, that are looking at him. If you're looking at him, he's looking at you. He's looking for somebody to look at him. You got it? That's simple. That's pretty simple faith right there. Simple faith is also seen in this. Listen, what did you have to have? If you were walking around in that camp, what did you have to see that pole? Nothing. You didn't need any special equipment. What do you have to see Christ? I mean, I know we have the Word of God and we got the preaching of the Word of God, but we don't have to have any special equipment. If we're already saved, particularly, we can be anywhere, anytime, day or night. We can be in any space. We can be in a cave. We can be underwater. We can be standing up, kneeling down. Man, woman, boy, girl, it makes no difference. It can be winter, summer, spring, fall. It can be any day of the week. You can be in the belly of a whale. You can be in a fiery furnace. It doesn't matter. You know, you can exercise faith anywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. It's simple, man. It's easy. It's easy. It's not, you don't have to have a doctor's degree in theology to exercise faith in God. It's a simple faith. And it accomplishes everything that we cannot do. Back to that, that's why it has to be the faith of Christ. See, he does in us what we've been trying to do. And see what happens because of our walking in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit, and because of our self-life, we want to try to do it. You know, oh, I'm going to get the victory. No, you're not. Mm-mm. You're not going to get the victory over nothing. Only thing you can do is surrender. Only thing you can do is surrender and let Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit leading us, right? If the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and we're having a service in the Holy Spirit, where would he be leading you? But if you don't follow the leading, what is it? Self-will, self-life. It's not the will of God, right? Simplicity of the faith accomplishes everything we can't do, and we can't save ourselves. We could strive for closer fellowship with God. We could strive for closer fellowship with each other, and we never get it. We'll never get it. But we can all look to Christ and focus on him. Listen, if all of us right here are looking at Christ and focusing on him, guess what? We have unity. It's unity. We're all focused on the same thing. It produces it. But if we try to do it by self-effort, we'll never do it. And we'll be nearer in heart to each other and nearer in heart to him than ever before. Somebody said this, social religion is perfected when private religion is purified. See, once we get our devotion right in our personal life, get your prayer life right. I'm going to tell you what my topic is tonight. I'm going to preach on tonight. Well, the topic's a little different, but what's what I'm talking about? The sin of prayerlessness. It's a sin. We can wag our heads at homosexuality all you want to. It's no greater than prayerlessness among God's people. Just warming you up, giving you a commercial like they do on TV. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. There's no salvation apart from faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We got a song. There's a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How simple. How profound. It's simple. It's easy. Just look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. It was life in Moses' day. It's life today. And the question is, where are you looking? Where are you looking? Come on, Paul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us. We need it. We can't do it. We can't get the victory over anything, Lord, without just looking to you, Lord, and you give it to us all. I pray that we'll understand that. It's my prayer if there's one or more here just not sure if they're saved, Lord, not sure if they've really put their faith in you or maybe putting faith in themselves or putting faith in external things, Lord, but not putting faith in you. Let they'll see that today and call on your name and be saved. Saved by grace, unmerited favor from God through faith. Through faith. It's a simple faith. That's all we have to have. And I'll put this invitation into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.